Can y'all join me one more time in giving a big round of applause to our students for leading us in worship this morning? So, Garrett, wherever you are, we let Alex go last on purpose. Man, y'all are incredible, incredible, incredible. If you don't know why I'm laughing, Alex was the drummer, our senior in the band, and dude, you can kick it. I don't know, is that cool to say? Was that a compliment? It was supposed to be a compliment. But y'all, this is such a special day as we come and gather together again and celebrate all of our young people. Sammy, Joe, Casey, and Hope, y'all are incredible, and I'm pretty sure that I just lost my praise band because they'll no longer be available for youth group worship anymore after leading us this morning. But what a beautiful expression of what church is supposed to look like for our youth to come and lead us in worship this morning, which is not something that's new here. It's been happening for a long time, and it's been happening throughout this pandemic. It's been happening all weekend. We had one of our alumni, Alex Hibbs, come on the youth camping trip this weekend, and he's an Eagle Scout from Troop 207, which is part of our church body, and I've never heard someone say the phrase, "And that's how we don't die." Chaperoning a youth trip more this weekend than Alex did, which was really concerning because I didn't know what was happening, but also a wonderful blessing because I knew if Alex thought it was a good idea and that it was safe, that we weren't going to be in too much harm's way. The park ranger did almost write us a ticket, but that's not Alex's fault. But what a beautiful expression of what church is and what Forest Hills is. Because 18 months ago, when the world stopped and we all locked the doors and battened down the hatches and did all the things that we thought we would never do, we hustled really fast to figure out, how do we keep the lights on? How do we do Zoom? How can we encourage tithing and logistical things of the church to keep the machine running, which were all good things. I am pro tithing. I agree with that. That's good. You should do it twice, maybe three times if Mark is watching. But in all of that, because of what was happening in the world and the realities around us, the things that the church is meant to be, the children, the joy, the laughter, the love, were taken away from us. They faded to the side, and though they were not labeled unimportant, maybe they fell in the column of unnecessary. And by no one's intention, in the last year, I know that the memory of what church is supposed to be has been hard to find. And what a special moment that we get to celebrate our young people, our seniors, who all of which, I'm sure there's at least seven people in this room, have changed their diapers. We won't do a show of hands, but y'all, it's happened. I'm sorry, that is the love we hear in the Bible. That's pretty scriptural, even if it makes you not want to come back. That we got to open the doors today and welcome our children back into the building. There was a baby in the nursery this morning. We had six boys in children's Sunday school, which if you are not involved in the youth and children's programs of this church, that would be about saying, like, we raised all the money for the Capitol campaign. We had six boys. The boys outnumbered the girls in children's Sunday school. Girls in the youth group, it is possible. Boys do come to church. Alex and Matthew, man, you have been riding solo for a long time, but there is hope for you yet. We got to have church again. And not only did we open the doors back to the building, but our young people were back in places of service and leadership and worship. They were helping in the nursery. Alex, I'm sure, hasn't caught up on his sleep from the camping trip. They led us in worship and scripture and prayer. without practice. We haven't done this in 18 months, and they came in and did it better than we can. Which shows what kind of church this is, what kind of congregation you are. Because what just happened a minute ago was not only the incredible talents and hearts, character, and Christ-likeness, is that a verb? Grammar. Of our young people, but it was Jeff Johnson and Henry Sue, and I'm not good enough at math to count the hours that made that possible. It was our Sunday school teachers and nursery workers and deacons and volunteers, all of which has come up in the last 18 years to have three people in a cap and gown sitting in the front row. So church, as we come to celebrate these special young people this morning, yes, it is about you, seniors, and we are so delighted and joyful, and there aren't enough adjectives to say how much we love you. Church, this is a celebration of what God's call in your life is and the fruits of what it has been for the last two decades. And as a minister who is fairly new to this community and congregation, I want you to hear it from an outsider. I feel like part of the family, but someone who is new here. Wow. Do not take for granted how special it is to have a church that loves children this well. I'm tired. I just went on a camping trip this weekend. Because I went into a nursery this morning as a parent and handed off a daughter who had never been to church to someone I had never met. But knowing your young people was enough for me to say, I don't need to know anymore about who these people are and how they love their children. And I feel safe leaving a newborn here with you. This is an incredible place. And the fruit of your love that we read about in John 15 is the front row right here. And that is something to be proud about. Yes, I want all of you to blush enough to match Hope's dress, but that is something to be proud about. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity to come and celebrate the gift of these young people, the stories that we have watched and been a part and rode along with these young adults for the last 18 years, the moments in which we saw your fingerprints come to life in the way in which they grew up into adults of leaders and servants and volunteers, and how the gospel we read in the pages of your words jumped off the page into the person and character that you were forming in these special people. And while so much of what we do here in programming and practice and brick and mortar may look from the outside that it's about the kids, and it is, we recognize this morning that really, we were the ones blessed by this ministry. That those of us in the pew were the ones learning about who you are through the joy of our children. And that having the opportunity to walk alongside them and see them grow up was not our duty but our blessing and your gift. And we thank you that we get to come together, gathered in your house and in your name to celebrate this as a family this morning. Thank you. Amen. As we begin in worship this morning, I want to call our hearts and our minds to a phrase that has been heavy on my heart. Well, a phrase, it's also a Bible verse. For the last 18 months and this week as we have led up to this day. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Seniors, if you hear nothing else we say this morning, your church wants you to hear that may our joy be in you and that your joy be made full. Because it's a bittersweet time for us to come and launch you out into the world and celebrate all that you have done, all that you're going to do, and that you we get to go and share you with the world and do great things and change what is wrong and make what is right and go and love others as we've seen you love those around you here, but also know that in sending you out, we lose part of ourselves. But we know that we can't be selfish enough. Stop looking at me like that. Selfish enough to keep you here. But that we are going to be missing a piece of us when you go. But more than any of that, as you go to become the people that God has called you to be, which are going to be big, beautiful, grand, and great things, we want nothing more than for your joy to be made full. And that wherever you go, that you have a church and a family and a home that is your biggest cheerleader, your biggest fan, and will also do all of your laundry and cook your food when you come home, but loves you and celebrates you even when you are not here. And in a way, I think that same message that we say to our seniors and our graduates this morning is really, in a nutshell, what God has called us to do as a church and as Christians. That as we gather in this house and do these things that we call church with weird names and phrases and rituals that the world may not understand. I still can't spell disciples. I went to Clemson. And I'm pretty sure there's a P in that. See, that it is about our joy is in you. And may your joy be made full. In my family, it's Joy or Joey. And that has always been the foundation of what I understood church to be and what I understood Christ to be. That when we gather together in a family that loves each other, loves our neighbor as God has loved us, and goes out and serves and lays down our life, our desires, our needs, our priorities, all the things that the world is calling us out to do, and puts those second, third, fourth, fifth on the list, and looks out across the sanctuary, the hallway, the pew, the parking lot, the street, and says, I love you. I am here to serve you. I am here and am willing to take my life to make sure there is a space that you feel welcome, known, loved, celebrated, embraced, valued, and your name is known. It's what the Bible at its core is all about. Because Christ came into this world, walked out onto the shore, looked into the sea and saw a fisherman that the world had cast to the side, said, you are not good enough, you are not worthy, you do not have value, you do not have space, you do not have a place in this thing that we call the world. Go and do the jobs that none of us want to do so that we can have the things that we want to have. And that is the role that you will play in this world. Whether it was the fisherman, the shepherd, the beggar, the leper, the outcast. Christ came into this world and said, I love you. I do not call you slave or servant, but I call you friend and family, and you have a place in my kingdom, in my heart, and in my love. And in the kingdom of God, you have value. You are not last, but you are first. And I will lay down my life to give you yours. I will eat last, serve first, come to you when you are in need, when it is inconvenient for me, leave the things on my to-do list unchecked and untended to come and make sure that yours is completed. I will wake up at 7 a.m. and that's not true. No, none of our Sunday school teachers read the lesson the day of. I will start practicing my Sunday school lesson on Monday, 7 days in advance, like Bill Gentry, to make sure that when you come, actually Bill does do that, when you come to church that you have someone who is investing their time, money, effort, and journey to learn about a God that loves you. That was Christ's presence in this world. And it's easy when we come to celebrate young people in church and the children to say, yes, that is what God looks like in the world. That is what John 15 calls us out to do, to love our neighbor, to follow the commandment of Christ, to go and love those who need it most, and to lay down my life for those in need. But the reality is that's probably not what most of our lives look like the other 6 days of the week. I know it's not what I look like, because it's really easy for me to come into this building, put on my youth minister hat. Y'all probably don't recognize me without a hat, do you? Put on my youth minister hat and say, it's time for me to be selfless and a servant and love young people, put my phone away, be fully present, not worried about the bills, the mortgage, the homework. I still haven't graduated college yet. I got a lot of homework to do. And put your needs first. You come before me and I'll put myself last. But Sunday when noon hits, the sermon's over, whether or not the guy's done talking, and I have priorities and things to do, and I'll put myself back first and check those boxes. And when I leave this building, it's back to being about me. And I don't know about you, but that's been particularly true for me the last 18 months. Ever since we blew the whistle and things began to get canceled and doors began to close and we retreated into our bubbles of safety, which was good. It needed to be done. Health and safety took priority above all else. I affirm that, recognize that, and applaud that. But as we retreated into our safe spaces and locked the doors, I felt like it became really easy for me to make excuses to not love my neighbor. It became really easy for me to make excuses of why my needs were more valuable than theirs. It became really easy for me to make excuses of why I didn't have to go out of my way to serve others. And the list goes on. Whether it was COVID, the anger that was consuming our country and divided us in which of ways most of us have never seen, or things that have been more recent and maybe not as a good excuse. Mark, I can't come to work today. I don't have enough gas. Well, yeah, I live 300 yards from the church, but I don't have any gas. And whatever the reason it is that I could spin it, that it was not required of me, worth my time or energy or my job, to put myself second. And my fear is, as we return back to whatever it is, the normal of this world, the new normal, that I don't know where we're going, but wherever that is that when we come back into these spaces, these moments, these communities, it's going to be really easy to love one another, to see one another, to say, yes, you come first, I come second. I will do all that I can in my life, my world, and my love to make sure that you feel valued, affirmed, recognized, welcomed, and have a place where you can belong. Because it's good and easy here. But when the door shuts behind us on Sunday morning, that we leave it in the building and don't bring it out with us to the rest of the world. And that's not what Christ is calling us to do when we turn to his words in John 15. This has been a scripture that has haunted me for most of my Christian life. In fact, you can see my Bible won't even lay flat because I had to tape the pages back into it in college as I wrestled with it so much. Didn't actually wrestle it like Hulk Hogan, but that's bad to do to the Bible. It's okay, I'm the youth pastor. But the call of Christ in these words, to say, just as my Father has loved me and I have loved you, abide in my love, to keep my commandments just as I have kept my Father's commandments. Because I know for me to do that, I'd have to live a lot differently. I'd have to act a lot differently, and in fact, I'd have to act in such a way that I'd have to make a lot of apologies about things that I don't want to talk about or did in my past or today with people that I probably avoid a lot more than I should because of things that I probably shouldn't have done. Not that any of you do that. And it's easy here. But as I go out into the rest of the world, I'm scared. Because I know what that commandment means. And I know the gaps that I have to step across, the bridges that I have to unburn, which I don't know how to do that, and the people that I have to look in the eye and say, I love you. And I should have loved you better. But the greater promise in all of that is the joy that Christ speaks of. That my joy may be made in you and your joy may be made full. It's something that we all hope for and pray for and certainly wish for our children that they would have joy in their lives and they would laugh and giggle and run down the halls of the church making so much noise that Mark gets a phone call about it on Monday, which y'all should totally all do on a regular basis and complain. And that joy oozes out of this space into all aspects of their life that they may go into the world with the bright, wondrous eyes of a child, no matter how old they may be. I know it's our hope and prayer for our seniors in this room today that you may go with the joy of this place to wherever God calls you, near or far, here or there, that you never lose the joy that God gave you as a child. And to our young people, just as it is to the rest of us, that joy is going to be found when you go out into the world of the unknown to the people who are different and disagree with the way of who you are and love them in which the way that you have been loved. Not only is Christ's joy made in you, but your joy will be made full. And I hope that the last 18 years you have been loved in such a way by these people that you see that when you put your needs second and the needs of those around you first, that there is a great joy that this world cannot promise you, but the Lord your God can. In church, the joy that we experience in this room this morning as we celebrate our special young people, we can find that out in the world around us, no matter how angry, chaotic, and divided it may seem. If we go out to those who we may not call friend or family and love them in which the way that, I completely mess that up, love them in the ways in which we have loved these young people today and for the last 2 decades. And what a place it would be if we could look at everyone the way that we look at our young people this morning, and celebrate them, affirm them, send them out, lift them up, cheer for them, catch them when they fall, hold their hand when they stumble, lift them up when they cannot stand, and say, I love you. I am here for you. And you will always have a place where you belong. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful for the beautiful celebration of life in these young people this morning as we gather in your house to reminisce on the memories that you have brought and to celebrate the stories you have yet to write. And for that, we are thankful. And as we go from here and send them off into the new spaces and places and callings, we ask that you will bring us in the same way to go out into the world to places of which we have not been, to go and take the joy in which we have found in these halls and bring it to your children. We pray all of these things in your name. Amen. Church, as we close our worship this morning, we invite you to respond in any ways that you feel led. Pastors will be at the back as our band leads us in worship one final time. And if you just need to come and lay it out before God, there will be someone there to pray with you. If you would like to join our church and this family and this congregation in the ways that we accept members, we would be glad to have you. Because whatever label it is you bring into this building this morning, we want you to know that you belong. Or if you would take the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we will be here to receive you and welcome you at the tables in the back. Because this is a place that you can call family. And God's joy in you can be made full. Will you come?
Let's stand as